The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Struggling with my self-perception, I am a five-tooled professional baseball player. Trapped in an aging psychologist's body. Good to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. Number to be on The Doctor Is In, 877-573. I'm waiting for you to write that down. 7825. 877-57 equal. Break it down into three parts. When I took my physiological psychology, we got into memory issues. They always said that the optimum number that someone can remember of items is seven. And that's why phone numbers were seven. Well, of course, as population has exploded, you know, when I was in grad school, I think the population of the U.S. was 342 people, something like that, along those lines. With Teresa Tomio, it was only nine. But now it's 10 digits. You got to remember 10 digits, and that makes it tough. 877-573-7825. If you have a question regarding something in your life, some circumstance, some situation, some people, puzzlement, frustration, from the gamut. Not gambit. Gambit is an opening move. Gamut is a continuum. From, well, we'll go from conception to eternity. Conception is a little fuzzy. Eternity, too, we have to speculate, but on that tiny, 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 indescribably small sliver of existence called Earth life, that's where we spend most of our time. So, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call if you would like to get on to the program. Any items of business? Nope, not looking at too much here. Oh, open line tomorrow afternoon, Thursday, open line with Father. But what is wrong with my talking today? Talk about inarticulate and stuff. Open line with Father Brian Malady. Malady. She's like, okay, shut it down, Andrew. I'm done. Show's over. I've muffed, starting a holiday here. I must have muffed about 10 words here in just the first intro. With Father Brian, I'm fired. Father Brian, what is going on here? So you're risking it now. If you're calling here for some kind of, you're risking what I might even say. Okie dokie. A lot of people leave the Catholic Church, or they're mad at the Catholic Church. And the reasons, almost always, are below the waist. Fornication, adultery, contraception, abortion, homosexuality, self-pleasure. When was the last time you heard someone say, I'll tell you, that Catholic Church just ticks me off. You know, okay, now you know what her latest thing is? Take care of the poor. Oh, come on. Who are they to tell me I need to take care of the poor? And then they say you don't steal. What? It's none of their business whether I steal or whether I don't. And then the part about you don't punch somebody in the face. My fist is my fist. They don't have control over my fist. stay out of my arms. No, no, you don't hear anybody angry at the Catholic Church for the civil morality that has been handed on to us from the Bible. They don't like the sexual morality. That's the stuff that ticks them off. If you say, well, what is it that you morally most disagree about the Catholic Church, or even Christianity, at least some sorts of Christianity, although they've compromised on a lot of this morality too. It's one of the logical proofs for me that the church is who she said she is, because despite the fact that she's getting pounded by the world, the Western world especially, on her moral stances, she hasn't budged. Oh, I know some of you are thinking, she's gotten a little wobbly. But she hasn't budged. And with that kind of pressure, many of our Protestant brothers and sisters and their denominations and their independent churches have compromised on some of this morality that they once were in total agreement with. Contraception up to 1930, all non-Catholics denominations said, no, it's a grave moral evil. Which raises an interesting side question. I don't want to get too far afield in this, but it's an interesting side question. The core tenet of non-Catholic Christianity is sola scriptura. You only need the Bible, and the Holy Spirit will guide you into the truth of Christianity, both teaching and morality. Okay, that's the notion, that's the theory. Well, up until 1930, you're forced to say that the Holy Spirit guided these non-Christian denominations into the scriptural understanding that contraception was a grave evil. Artificial contraception was a grave moral evil. They all said it. And in 1930, the Lambeth Conference, the Anglicans said, well, there's a little wiggle room here. And then from then on, it was just almost a total collapse, a walking away from that. And the early church didn't believe that artificial contraception was okay at all. So here's the question, side question. Was the Holy Spirit wrong then? Or is the Holy Spirit wrong now? Because the interpretation of Scripture, which is the only rule of faith that non-Catholic Christianity follows, is apparently either silent on contraception or kind of nods that it's okay. Guided by the Holy Spirit, of course. Well, then the Holy Spirit changed his mind. Obviously, it's the only conclusion you can come to. Or the only other thing is you could say, well, it's not a major issue. That's all. It's just not a major issue. Well, it is a major issue if you recognize the pharmacological truth that the pill can act as an abortifacient and in an unknown percentage of cases will kill a 2, 3, 4, 5-day-old developing human being. But I really digressed on that one. I'm back to the upset at the Catholic Church because of her moral teaching. I see that among young people everywhere. I don't see any reasons why those with same-sex attraction can't be married to each other. I think you need to live together to get to know somebody before you marry him. There are certain cases where it's best that abortion takes place. It's across the board. Do a little informal survey. You will find that it is below the waist stuff. Isn't that interesting? It's fascinating, isn't it? How that has come to be such a potent club against the out-of-touchness of the Catholic Church. But as Father Robert Spitzer has so accurately and pointedly uncovered, the Catholic Church, in her teaching on morality, has a pile of studies, secular studies, that show that the way God says to do it is the correct way. Research supports it. Wouldn't you know it? Okay, 877-573-7425. 7825 877-57 equal to your calls. Be delighted to keep company with you.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Every year, couples who go on the Ave Maria Radio's Good News Cruise testify how their marriages are revitalized and transformed. Join us on the next Good News Cruise from January 5th to 11th on the Royal Caribbean's Oasis of the Seas. You'll be joined by Father Michael Schmitz, Teresa Tamio, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and many more speakers. Cabins are selling fast, so be sure to book your spot now. Faith and fun on the sea and in the sun. There's no topping that. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the travel tab to find out more.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
This program brought to you in part by the town of Ave Maria, Florida.
Ave Maria, a big kind of small town. A golf cart friendly, ride your bike everywhere kind of town with something for everyone. Resort style amenities, two golf courses, shopping, and dining in our town center. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at the core of the community and a wide range of homes to meet your family's needs. Visitors are welcome. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. Ave Maria, a big kind of small town.
Thanks so much for joining me here on The Doctor's Inn. Dr. Ray Guarendi, program number 877-573-7825. Let's go to Julie from Kansas. Hi, Julie.
Hello there.
Man, you got one of the most difficult situations that a parent can bring to me, which is an older kid who, at least from your briefest of descriptions, sounds like he's out of control.
Yeah.
What's he doing?
Well, he very, very disrespectful. He wants his opinion heard, and it's his opinion or no opinion.
So, are you married, Julie?
Yes.
Where's your husband in all this?
Kind of a bystander in my view. I'm definitely the disciplinary, and we have an acronym for DD, and that's Disney Dad, and MM for me, I'm Mean Mom, and I don't like it. That's not my job, but it's not his nature to have people mad at him. So I've taken the brunt of all this. And, I mean, he just doesn't recognize rude mouth and disrespectful behavior. So,
how long has it been this way?
Let's see. Probably... I'd say 10 years.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I have pulled every hat trick out of my hat possible.
Well, I don't think you have. Because
okay. Well, that's
first,
why I'm
first
calling
of,
you.
Well, Julie, first of all, your mom which means that as mom, you still do a lot of things. You probably wash his clothes. You may take him places. You may pay for his smartphone. You may do many, many things. And why are you still doing those things if he's that rude and disrespectful and defiant?
Well, to tell you the honest truth, I don't. He does his own laundry. He doesn't have any devices because he's proven that he can't be trusted on any devices. So he has no smartphone. He has no computer. But again, daddy to the rescue. And, you know, I don't even feed him. It's like if you find food in the refrigerator, you eat it. I'm not making nothing for you. I don't take him anywhere. I don't do nothing. But again, you know, rescue takes care of everything. So
does daddy buy his smartphone? Does daddy take him all over the place? Does daddy get him his license? Does daddy give him the computer? What does daddy do?
Well, none of that, because I've kind of put my foot down and he doesn't have a driver's license. I said, you may be the only senior in high school that's going to get a ride to school, but again, it doesn't bother me. So yeah, he does not have a driver's license. You know, he doesn't have a smartphone. You know, he doesn't have, and we tell him, you know, you could have so much more. You could go so many more places if you just learn how to be respectful and obedient, but something just doesn't click.
Well, does your husband think if you weren't such a witch that your boy would be a lot nicer?
Oh, I'm sure so. He's just never said that. Mm-hmm. You know, and he understands, too, that it's just way, you know, way out of control.
He doesn't like the way it is, but he isn't doing much about it.
Well, and, you know, he's really kind of to the point where he doesn't know what to do, you know. And, yeah, I mean.
Has your son run away? Has he left the house? Has he hit you? Anything like that?
He hasn't ran away, but he's grabbed my arm, you know, and left a bruise. And yeah, I mean, he's very verbal, and so, you know.
You understand that if there is a physical assault, you can call the police, and there is a possibility of domestic charges.
Yeah. Well, we're currently looking at, like, Boys Town or something like that, because, you know, we've just said that if you can't follow our rules and be respectful, you're not going to live in this house. So,
I'm confused. I don't want to drag this out too long. I'm confused because you say that he's completely out of control, but he's not running away. He's not leaving the house in the middle of the night. He's not busting up anything. He doesn't have a computer or a smartphone or a license. So apparently he's just incredibly obnoxious.
Pretty much, yes. You know, and unfortunately, you know, that's my confession every week, is I can't stand my son, you know. But yeah, I mean, it, the only time, you know, I mean, if you just see him, you'd think, oh, this is the nicest kid ever. But the problem is when a conflict arises, it's his way or no way. And so, for instance, last night I went to pick him up from the field, and he's like, no, I'm going to finish this field before I leave. Okay, here's your choices.
Wait, what field? What field?
Like working in the field, like farming.
Oh.
Yeah. And so,
well, what kept you from turning around and saying, well, okay, find your own way home?
Well, so that's what I did. I said, okay, so here's your options. Either you come with me now or you get to walk.
Okay.
Well, so of course he stays in the tractor, and so I left.
Okay.
But again, then you have rescue from my older son that goes and picks him up.
Oh, Julie, you got... Okay, obviously we can't do therapy here. If you were in my office, I have 622,000 questions I would ask you. Two suggestions. One, I have a book that might help you. It's called Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens. There's a lot in there about how to handle teenagers. It's on my website. Okay, it gives you a lot more advice I can give you now. Secondly, I think it's best if you sit down with your husband and say, you know, we only got about another year, year and a half till this kid's 18. And if he's uncooperative here, what are we going to do? Maybe your husband will realize, even at this very, very late date in your child rearing, that he must make some changes. He's already frustrated with the way your son is, but at least according to what you're saying, he hasn't done much about it. So something's gone on. He's either thinks you're too strict, he thinks you're too nagging, he thinks you're too argumentative with this boy, or he is just afraid the boy won't like him. I don't know. That's one of the 622,000 questions I would ask you if you were in my office. So given that, I can't give you a quick answer here, Julie. It's a bad situation. But it does sound like he's not totally out of control, because you didn't say this. You didn't say we get calls from the school all the time. The school must think he's perfectly fine, right?
Wrong.
Oh, okay. Well, then he's giving him trouble at school, too. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Not school season.
All right. So given that, I think perhaps, I don't know, you can always go to the juvenile court and say, I would like to speak to a probation officer about my options with this boy, because he's uncooperative. Now, I don't suspect your husband will go along with that. I suspect he'd say, no way, we're not going to that length. Okay. That's up to you. But I will tell you what I see in situations like yours. Unless you do something to get this situation under a little better control, almost always by age 18 or 19, you either kick him out, or your husband doesn't kick him out and he becomes progressively much more difficult to live with, and that creates marital problems. If you haven't already had those already. And it also creates problems for your son, who could do a lot of things that would be self-destructive. So that's where you're at. I'll tell you, it saddens me when I see one parent or the other basically allowing behavior that is going to hurt that child badly in the future. Badly.
Mm-hmm.
I see it. I live it. And they come to me when they're 20 years old, and he's either in jail, he's addicted, he's on the streets. It's an ugly, ugly end product. But you can't tell them until sometimes, sadly, that happens. Julie, I wish I could give you more. Try the book out. It might give you some ideas. It talks a little bit about when husband and wife disagree also. There's things you can do. It sounds like you're doing them. But I will tell you this, quit arguing with him. You have no leverage, Julie. You don't have any leverage. Whatever you try to do, all that happens is he argues with you, and according to what you say, your husband jumps in and mollifies the situation. So therefore, don't argue with him. You go to pick him up. He says, I'm not coming. Okay, see you later. Don't argue, because you get into arguments, that's when it gets ugly. Mm-hmm. If he says, take me here, you say, no, not until you're respectful. That's it. Don't argue. Don't say anything back.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you, dear. All right. Talk to you. This is Dr. Ray. Yeah, I get those kind of situations in my office. And I will tell you, it realistically, they're unsolvable. Unfortunately, what tends to happen in the majority of the cases is that something in life intrudes. Something serious, usually. And then the world teaches the out-of-control adolescent or teenager. I will say this. I think in many respects this is a uniquely American problem, that these children are now adversaries toward their parents. That is not the way it's been in human history. And it certainly isn't the way it's been in much of the rest of the world. And there's a lot of ingredients in this one. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number. I'd want to hear from you. A lot of time left, so you can get on.
Did you know you have divine glory living within you? If you are a baptized Christian, you are host to a gentle guest, says the Catholic Catechism. This guest inspires, guides, corrects, and strengthens us to live our life in Christ. That gentle friend is the Spirit of Christ, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He is active in us, transforming us spiritually if we are willing, so that we may live as children of the light. There are two ways to live. The first way, the way of Christ, leads to life. The opposite way leads to death, an eternity without God. Choose life, then. Choose Christ, a life of challenge and joy. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? It's not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, hey, when are you going to come to my man cave? Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Or whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why aren't we hanging out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When was the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
I have been informed by On Top of Things producer man Andrew Kruchek. You know, it's 4th of July week. It's quiet. Everybody's heading out all over the place. Vacations, things like that. So if you've had trouble getting in the past, this is the time to get in because things are quiet, which is unusual. So there are lines ready, open, and I am willing to talk. Now, I can easily talk the next 20-some minutes. That's easy. That's no problem whatsoever. But I'd rather talk to you. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call. I was in Cleveland some years ago. It was a young lady. She was at the hotel desk acting as the receptionist. She was from Nigeria. And I asked her a bit about things. I said, hey, you know, are you here for permanent, temporary? She was here for school. I said, what do you notice immediately about the difference between your country and ours? Now, she didn't hesitate more than about half a breath. Your children. What do you mean? I knew what she meant, but being a psychologist, you have to ask, what do you mean? You have to ask that like four times during a conversation. I read that in Psychology Today. She said, our children would never be permitted to act like this. And I said, well, obviously American parents don't want their children to act like this either, but they apparently permit it. What's the difference? And she said, there is an overall sense of, you don't do this, and all the families are in agreement, you don't do this. I asked a friend of mine, and I've shared this also in this program, he worked out at the Y with me. Don, I'll be with you in a second there, sir. Worked out at the Y with me, and his name was Raheem. And he was conscripted during the first Gulf War. He tells stories about how Saddam Hussein's regime just basically took these guys and put them in the desert and put them in these desert holes and, okay, here comes the Americans. Well, of course, they surrendered. They were overwhelmed. The military power of America was just too much. And he came to America and he was training Marines in desert tactics that he had learned in Iraq. Yeah, talk a little bit. I said, Raheem, your teenagers in Iraq act like ours? He looked at me like I just said, do you guys have electricity? He said, of course not. I said, well, what's the difference? He said, well, they would be asked to leave. I said, well, how old do they have to be to ask to leave? He goes, any age. Wow. Okay, now in the U.S., you can't do that. But in Iraq, he said, no, a 15-year-old is out of control. He leaves. That's it. He can't live there. Where does he go? Well, that's up to him. Now, we might look at that and say, whoa, ooh, that's rough. That's in America, that's abuse. Well, that's their culture. And one thing they don't have is the out-of-control percentage of kids that we have. They just don't have that. Now, you might say, well, that's not going to be a solution in America. No, it's not. But there is definitely differences, and this idea that when a kid gets to be 15, 16, 17, they automatically become difficult and challenging and defiant. It's cultural. It's timing. And it is, unfortunately, I think, part of our richness. Oh boy, lines are filling up. There we go. Don from Toledo, Ohio, Annunciation Radio, now with Ave Maria Radio. Hi, Don.
Hello, Dr. Ray. This is Don, your other listener. How are you today?
Yes, sir. I got one there in northwestern Ohio. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Dr. Ray, I'm calling because my daughter, amazingly beautiful young woman, age 24, smart, wonderful job, and she's my only daughter of three children, and my wife and I are expecting a possible proposal engagement announcement coming soon, and she's been with this young man for going on 3 years now.
Good guy?
I'm sorry?
Good guy?
Yes, I hate to admit it, but yes.
You know, hate to admit it.
If I had a checklist, you know, for everything that somebody would need to be with my daughter, he's got them all checked off. Very devout Catholic family, like ourselves. Great parents, amazing family, you know. I don't know. I'm having a hard time.
Sounds terrible. Sounds absolutely awful. I think you got to try to break this relationship up.
I've been trying for 3 years.
You just don't like the fact your little girl's growing up.
Absolutely.
Well, what are you doing to tell yourself that this is a good thing? You don't have to say, I don't like it. She's not 15 anymore, and it was wonderful when she was at home, and she's such a sweetheart. Now she's going to go out, and she's going to live her own life, and we'll still be mom and dad, and we'll be part of that life because she's a wonderful kid, and he's a wonderful guy. But I just don't like it. What are you doing to stop you not liking it?
What am I doing to stop not liking him?
Yeah.
I've never made it easy for him. I've never made it easy for any boy that came around my daughter.
You got to stop that. You know what'll happen? You'll lose your daughter.
Right. I don't want that to happen. You know. Nor does my wife. And my wife's even telling me that I need to dial it down.
Yes, you do. Now nobody's putting a gun to your head and saying you have to act like this. You've decided to act like this.
You're correct.
I don't want to quote unquote lose whatever relationship you think you need to have with your daughter when she's 24, instead of saying, you know what, Don, I think I better reassess my head and my thinking, because my lovely daughter, this is exactly what I would want for her. This is beautiful, and she's not going to kick me to the curb. It's just going to be a different relationship, and this is, you hope for, normal course. You know, Don, I got a whole bunch of people listening right now. I mean, I got an audience of about 200 listeners. And there's no doubt in my mind they're mad at you. Because they're thinking, yeah, I wish my kid could find somebody good like that to marry. I wish my kid was a sweetheart like that. This guy's all upset because his kid found somebody wonderful. And worse than that, he's not accepting the guy.
told my daughter that I'm having a hard time allowing somebody else to love her as much as I do.
Well, then you better tell the Lord, help me to accept that somebody's going to love her more than I do. That's what you want for her.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
She has asked me to have making also.
Have what? You dropped out there a second.
She's asking me to have more confidence in her decision making also.
Well, then do it.
It's my little girl.
Yeah, your little girl's 24. She's an adult woman now.
Yeah.
I've got five girls, and my youngest is 24. So my prayer for them is that they all meet somebody wonderful that helps them toward God. That is your goal, my friend. And if you're questioning that, you got to question yourself. You got to say, why am I doing this? Listen to your wife on this one. This is Dr. Ray.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
Brothers and sisters, we got to tell the truth in this country. For heaven's sakes, I wouldn't want to go to a synagogue and find that they were having a Muslim service. I wouldn't want to go to a mosque and run into a Baptist service. I don't want to go to a Baptist church and find out that they're having Mass. We've got to be honest to ourselves. We've got to be what we are. I'd rather a good old-fashioned, honest agnostic than a phony Christian any day of the week. There are reluctant agnostics. There are atheists who are searching for God, and they may find him. But somebody who says they're doing something in the name of God, in the name of Christ, and God and Christ have nothing to do with it, is violating this commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall not take my name in vain.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
People think it's easier to stay in the muck. The devil that we know is easier than the devil we don't know, but what they don't realize is that the situation can get worse. And what we're seeing now with some of these very liberal orders, let's say, for example, these liberal orders that are dying out, especially religious sisters, dying out, literally folding. And then you have the religious orders such as the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Dominican Sisters in Nashville, the Sisters of Life in New York, flooded with requests for information and to meet with the sisters about this beautiful life because they're so joyful because they are living the truth of Scripture and the truth of the Eucharist, of Jesus. But these people will not let go because then you have to look yourself in the mirror and then you have to surrender. I think it all goes back to the Garden of Eden. Who's God? Are we God or is God God?
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
You know, it is, you wouldn't think it. Well, maybe you would think it. A lot of fun to do this show. It truly is. Get to talk to a lot of folks. Get to hear about all kinds of situations in the human condition. What better stuff to hear and be exposed to? Now, I know you might be thinking, oh, come on, doesn't it sometimes get to you? Yeah, but you got to keep it in balance. I want to stay happy. I want to be at peace. The Lord promises we believe in him, we'll be at peace. So I'm taking him at his word. Becky from Washington says she has a way. Now, I would immediately put her to the front because she told our call screamer, Eric, she has a way to improve this program. Now, I said to Eric, what did she say? Get another host? Did she say make it shorter? Did she say don't allow me to talk as much? I mean, there's a whole lot of ways we could improve this program. So I'm curious to see what Becky says. Hi, Becky.
Hi.
Tell me. Help me improve.
Okay. I think that you should play the rap song like every day or a couple times a week.
Why do you think that?
Because I really like that song. It makes me happy. And you only played it once.
That's Andrew's fault. He doesn't like the song. I like it. I think I wrote the words.
Too.
I wrote the words, and this was years ago that I did this. And the guy that put the background music to it, I did the words in the song without any music at all. But apparently, I did it with enough rhythm that he could put the underlining backdrop music to it. So I'll tell you what we'll do, Becky, because of you, because you are a sweet, loyal listener. Andrew's queuing it up right now. I was going to play it after the break for you, but he's finding it. He hid it somewhere. I'm suspicious that he may even gotten rid of it. I don't know. But he's looking for it. Let me know when you got it, Andrew, because I'll just keep talking to Becky here. He's not
saying. While we're waiting, can I ask you a question? Another question?
Sure.
Okay. Why won't I do the things that are really important in my life that I have to do? Why won't I do it?
You mean like St. Paul? Who says, I don't do the things I should do, and the things I shouldn't do, I do?
Yeah, like kind of like that.
Well, did you put things off that you know would be better to do?
Yeah, and I have an aversion to these things.
I'm going to give you just a piece of small advice, which is what I do anyway, but so much of life is just stepping ahead and don't think about it, just do it. And I've used this analogy before. I've been lifting weights for 40 plus years. As I get older, it gets harder and harder to go into that weight room. It's just harder. However, I just go. I don't think about it. I don't say, today I'll go tomorrow. I don't feel like it today. And it'd be so much easier just to sit at home and I'm tired. And nope, not allowed. This morning, I went out and I trimmed some bushes in my front yard. I didn't want to do it. It was hot. I want to stay in the house and just let my wife do it. But I went outside and I got the trimmer. I got the long 50-foot cord and just started. I didn't think about it, Becky. I didn't think about it. I knew it was something that needed to be done. And I just mindlessly started toward it. And that's what you got to do. When you know you should be doing it, you don't sit there and mentally debate. Well, I don't know. I don't feel like it. Or I don't want. No, you do that, you'll lose, Becky. You won't do it.
And not worry about looking stupid or
that's right,
being afraid.
Don't. That's right. Who cares? Who cares what people think? All you got to worry about is whether they're right. And much of the time when people criticize you, it's not because you're wrong. It's because they don't like the way you did it. Well, that's their business.
Okay, well, I'm going to make those phone calls.
All right, babe. Go for it.
Hey, thanks. I hope Andrew finds the
phone. He's got it, yeah. And as soon as you hang up, it's on its way. Thanks, Becky.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much.
There you go, Andrew.
Shrink wrap.
Dr. Ray, you're just great.
Ain't sharing no feelings, don't know where you're at. Can't hear what you're saying, just can't go with that. My inner child says he's stunned, My grown-up self says it's a no-brainer, duh. Psycho rap, ain't doing no babble, just can't go with that. Psycho rap, you hear what I'm saying? This ain't no shrink chat. Super ego id, unconscious for sure. Freudian analysis, 6 grand or more. Head shrinking, mind blowing, brain lock, yes, hypnosis, neurosis, halitosis, Primal scream, fairy dream, bad scene, yeah. Kids a brat, made him sat, got a swat, wow. Time out, tune in, listen up, yo. Don't blame me if your kid's on the spring show. Psycho rap, ain't doing no babble, just can't go with that. Psycho rap, you hear what I'm saying? This ain't no shrink chat. Pavlov's dogs, does that ring a bell? Repression, depression, who can tell? Psychology, neurology, pathology, what? Therapy, sympathy, apathy, gut.
O-D-A-D-D-T-H-E-E. I know all the letters of the alphabet C. E-M-S, I-R-S, E-I-E-I-O. There ain't no combinations I don't know. Psycho rap, psycho rap. Ain't doing no babble, just can't go with that. Psycho rap, psycho rap. You hear what I'm saying? This ain't no shrink cat. Oral stage, anal stage, lysis stage, yep. Antipas, animus, maximus, stop. Reflect, deflect, reject, where it's at. I'm okay, you're okay, your kid could be a bat. Self-esteem, self-image, self is all. I am me and ego, you all. Assertiveness training, don't get in my way. The only real truth is what I say. Psycho rap, psycho rap. Ain't doing no babble, just can't go with that. Psycho rap, psycho rap. You hear what I'm saying? This ain't no shrink cat.
That was a well-plotted piece of non-claptrap that never made me want to retch.
Yeah, it's gotten into you.
Andrew Formsby, that was last played on January 10th. Is that Andrew? January 10th, 1916? This year. Okay. When we come back, this is Dr. Ray. Your calls. Appreciate it.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truth of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
EWTN tells me that the TV show Living Right with Dr. Ray, now moving into its 14th taped season, is broadcast in about 140-plus countries. And they've been on me. They've been on me to learn the languages of those 140-plus countries, and I'm doing my best to cooperate. So far, I've got Australia down pat. And only just a few phrases. So, hello. Going for a walkabout. That's it. That's pretty much it. Matt Frad would be very happy with me. Judy from New York.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hey, thank you, dear.
I'm calling to seek your wisdom or your advice.
Now, there's your problem. The wisdom is a little tougher to seek, you know. I can't seek that all the time. Maybe a thought. Right. You seek my thoughts. That's easy enough.
Okay. Well, I have a daughter-in-law who is in her 30s, came into our family, and not under any pressure of any of us, decided she wanted to convert to Catholicism. She didn't follow any faith. And she had a very slipshod catechesis at the time. Very quickly became a Catholic and doesn't have a real wide background in the Catholic faith. And the most immediate thing which has occurred, she had a dear friend who she was friends with since her childhood, who has started to follow satanic ways. And she very wisely decided to devoid herself of her. She unfriended her. She doesn't see her, text with her, or anything anymore. However, since that time, my daughter-in-law has been getting what she calls our messages. Like she might get a flash of a word. She doesn't know what it means. She might have dreams that she doesn't know why she's getting these dreams. And phrases come up in her head all of a sudden. She doesn't know what they mean. Well, I advised her maybe to start writing those things down. You know, just put them like a starter journal thing. And then, you know, I could maybe discuss it with her, or she could discuss it with, you know, maybe a priest or whatever. But she has thought to go to the internet and, like, go, you know, and you know how wide space everything is out there, and look for meaning in whatever those words mean and try to construe things, put them together to say it's a message. Now, she currently thinks the Lord is telling her that she's going to have a lot to overcome and that she is going to have to establish some kind of special program, nonprofit program, and that's what these messages are telling her to do. I have advised her in the past to speak to the parish priest, but he's kind of elderly and not on kind of contemporary wavelength. And I don't know what else to say to her to do. And I'm wondering if you could suggest what I could say to her with all these, about these messages that she is getting.
The first thing I would ask her, Judy, is why are you convinced that those messages mean anything at all?
Okay.
In other words, all kinds of stuff pops into our head. And dreams are crazy. By their very nature, they're erratic, illogical, and flit. So much of the time, they don't mean anything. The worst place to go, of course, is the internet. to find out, oh, okay, I got the translation here. Yes, if she, tell her to call Catholic Answers and ask for Jimmy Akin.
Okay.
And Jimmy is, he'll give her a very, very informed response. And tell them when you call Catholic Answers that Dr. Ray referred her to Jimmy. And to tell Jimmy what's going on. And he'll have a very, very good answer that will reassure her. I suspect it'll parallel a lot of what I'm saying, which is these things don't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
What she's doing is stuff is popping into her head, a phrase or bits of a phrase that she figures needs interpretation. Well,
that's what she seeks to do all the time.
Right. No, that may not need any interpretation at all. It's just bits and phrases popping into her head. Okay, until she comes to that conclusion. If she's
right,
gonna go ahead.
Yeah. It's getting a little embarrassing the way she's a very verbal person, and she will now corner someone and start telling them all these things. And it's like a little embarrassing after a while that she comes up with these, you know.
Is she getting obsessed?
Ideas. On the verge, I think. On the verge.
Something might be going on. Something might be going on.
But it consumes a lot of her life now. She was very busy this past year with school-related things. She was in college, and that kind of like subsided. But now that that's behind her, it seems like these things are now coming into the forefront again, you know. And she comes to me, she tells me her words, what do you think they mean? I almost thought maybe I should kind of have her read the Catholic Catechism.
You might say to her, Honey, I don't think they mean anything.
Mm-hmm. But then she'll probably get mad at me that I'm dismissing what she is, you know, she's experiencing, you know, like...
You're not dismissing it, Judy. You're just, she asked your opinion and you gave it. Okay. What do you think they mean? I don't think they mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to likely be misled if you put meaning to them. That's
okay.
What I would say. Right. But tell her, have her call Jimmy.
All right, okay. That All sounds right. like a plan of another step.
Thanks,
okay,
Judy.
Thank you.
All righty. By the way, any of you know Jimmy Akin? The guy's an encyclopedia. He knows everything about everything. He called me one day and he said, Ray, can I ask you a question? And I stopped him right then and there. I said, I'm going to tell people from now on when Jimmy Akin has a question, he calls me. It's 10 years ago and I've been clinging to that. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it so very, very much. As always, walk with God. Blessed Independence Day.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.